The Ira Kaufman Podcast, as always, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. He knows you've been thinking about moving up to Cadillac luxury, and if so, now's the time during the Tournament of Savings at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Right now, get move-up sales event savings on a 2019 XT5 crossover. Drive for only $339 a month at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. That's edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. The offer expires at the end of this month. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they are right there on Causeway Boulevard. Total savings up to $11,000 on all remaining 2018 Cadillac models. They are all on clearance at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They have their own tournament of savings as well, so get over there. We are pleased to bring you the podcast today, and all of Ira's work is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Let's get to the star of the show. Here's the Sage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The free agency dinner bell has rung, and so has the bell on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Here he is, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, decked out in his full Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon aura. He just screams everything about those dealerships. Ira, how are you today? I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, of course. Lee D. Kemper's here. We're back together. The Bucks are doing nothing. How are you?
Dave, I want to welcome you back to the podcast. You were sorely missed the other night.
Surly?
Sorely at Glory Days, where the waitress was asking me 9 questions about where you were. Of course, she doesn't know your name, but she knows your countenance and your profile over there. I'm drinking this coffee. It's a little bitter, and that could extend to the Bucks free agent period as we speak over there, Lee. They're losing guys left and right. Even backup linebackers are getting plucked away. And as usual, they're adding punters and kickers. So here we go. Having said that, I think it begs the question, Lee, and it's a good one. How can you be a bad team with no money? That's a tough exactor over there, Lee. That's a daily double.
The Lions pull that off pretty well annually, don't they?
Yeah, they make the playoffs once in a while. Once in a while.
Well, once every 8 years, if that.
Speaking of
but
the playoffs.
But at least they got Trey Flowers. The Bucks twiddling in their thumbs.
Well, they were what, back-to-back 9-7 with Caldwell,
I think so.
A little more respectable.
Well, Steve, I stunned you with this column on Wednesday about the relationship between Buck fans and Cleveland fans. You know, the lake got on fire in 1969. Comedians are still yakking about it, making fun of the city of Cleveland, which is not a bad town, Lee.
Yeah.
Home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of which Van Halen is in, and so
yes.
You're happy with your little eruption with Eddie Van Halen.
Were you underwhelmed with that place? You've been in there, haven't you?
I was a little underwhelmed.
Yeah.
And they had no beet salad, so that wiped me out. But, Steve, the way that the Browns are loading up, and we've been around long enough in town to know you can win March and flop in September. We've seen it here all the time.
We're good at it.
But people are excited about the Browns, and why do I mention the Browns? Well, the Browns are the only thing standing in the way, Lee, of the Bucks having the longest playoff drought in football. Mm-hmm. And that is a moniker that you don't want any part of. I'm rolling today. I just saw Green Book last night. I paid my $5.99 on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen is...
I don't know the actors, but I know what you're talking about. The chauffeur, the Italian chauffeur.
That's right.
And the guy who wrote
it ended up winning Best Picture, and Spike Lee was so pissed off as soon as they announced Green Book, Best Picture of the Year. Spike Lee jumped out of his seat and ran to the exits. Come on, Spike. Come on, Spike. You're bigger than that.
Green Book, isn't that
bigger than that. He's like 4 foot tall, isn't he?
Isn't that what they stole from Peyton Barber's car, the Green Book?
By the way, Peyton Barber's back. Much to Lee's chagrin.
Oh, great. Okay, here we go. Took me a while to put two and two together there.
There we go.
Ira, there's a lot going on here, and I wanted to hit you with a couple of things first. First, I wanted to hit you with a little quiz.
I like your quizzes, Steve. They're difficult.
not too difficult, Sage. First, we did put out on the Joe Bucks Fan Twitter feed looking for questions for the Sage. I threw it out there, and I tried to put it out, Ira, when I knew you'd be either busy eating or driving.
No luck.
Somebody asked when I had my first beet salad,
yes.
And I think I might have answered it.
So
I didn't answer it.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you that. That was the first question that came in. When did you have your first beet salad, Ira?
I was 2 years and 6 months. Instead of giving me oatmeal, they put a beet salad in front of me, and that's how that love affair started, Lee. Very simple.
Now, Ira, that
and was... I just got out of Maimonides Hospital. They kept me in there for 2.5 years.
All right, Sage. Now, that was roughly 73 years ago, and that's when Ed Morse...
73 years ago.
That's when the Ed Morse family of dealerships were founded, Ira. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, proud supporters of all your work. And I know you'll be out there talking to new general manager Hector LeBron.
Looking forward to it
next
week.
In Brandon next week. And, of course, their website, edmorescadillacbrandon.com, right there on Causeway Boulevard. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, your picture's on the wall there.
And those guys pay the bills. And they support us, and we very much appreciate it.
And those are Hillsborough County's two Cadillac dealerships, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You can start shopping there, edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. I found out, Ira, your good buddy John Cooper has re-upped with his partnership with Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, so you guys can hang out there again.
And I was with him before the season even started, and obviously I gave him good vibes, good juju.
So, Sage, let's get – you mentioned Peyton Barber, so I'll throw him out there.
Hold on. Stop right now.
Least favorite subject.
Stop right now, Steve. DeKemper is looking at his phone. He's got his face buried in there like a mollusk, like the Bucks are about to do something spectacular. Lee, give it up. The Bucks are done, baby.
I was actually looking at trying to find – Javier had a series of questions for you. All of them are pretty good.
Lee's still trying to get D. Ford to the Buccaneers.
Don't get me
Steve,
going.
Will you tell him that Don't D. Ford is signed, sealed, and delivered? And speaking of D.
Someone
Ford.
Someone tell Jason Light that.
What the hell? What the hell is going on in Kansas City? They got a terrible defense on a par with the Bucs in 2018. That's about as low as you can go. And they just dumped Justin Houston, which I'm okay with. And D. Ford, who's going to be 27, 28 years old, coming off a 13 second. What's going on with this Steve Spagnuolo? Well, I like the hire, and now you're supposed to fit the scheme to the players. What the hell is this guy doing?
I don't want to bore people because this is not a Chiefs podcast, but Javier has some questions for you. The best ones I'll save for later, but one of them is, who should the Bucs draft? Linebacker or defensive line? Go.
They got to draft a linebacker at LSU.
Oh!
They got to draft a linebacker. They're dying over there at that linebacker. All they got is Levante David and a bunch of question marks. And they might be in some schemes where they got four linebackers on the field. Who do you want to throw out there, DeKemper? Deion Buchanan as your stud? Is that the correct pronunciation? Deion, what are we calling this guy?
I don't care what you call him.
You don't care what you call him.
Number five pick, you got a chance for a generational game wrecker at edge rusher.
You got
rusher.
Your mind on Marcus Sweat. You like the guy's
Marcus
name,
Sweat,
DeKemper.
Josh Allen. I don't give a damn. I just can't. I will lose my freaking mind if they got drafted inside linebacker. I will lose my freaking credential if they draft an inside linebacker at number five.
You just heard it, Nelson Lewis. You just heard it.
I mean,
DeKemper's going to turn in his credential.
Levante David has been one of the best linebackers in the NFL for 8 years, and what has that done?
Give the man a little help.
Roquan Smith, one of the best freaking linebackers in the NFL. What did he do for the
Bears?
What did
he do? Their top three defense. That's what he did.
And you know why? Because they got Khalil Mack, that's
why.
You got
JPP.
They got Khalil Mack. They got a chance for a guy for the next decade. This friggin' franchise can't buy, well, they finally did with JPP. They're going to pass up for a GD inside linebacker? Are you serious?
Oh, this is going to be a
oh,
my podcast.
Freaking God.
Now, wait a minute. Are you convinced that these guys are the next coming of Bruce Smith?
Are you convinced this guy from LSU is the next freaking Lawrence Taylor?
Well, LSU linebackers have a good pedigree.
Yeah, Quan Alexander, the heart and soul of the worst defense a man has ever laid eyes on.
They just emptied their wallet for the man coming off an ACL. That tells you what John Lynch thinks of the man.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think he's got early stages of CTE.
Well, where are you on this whole thing over here?
I'm just kind of, at this point, there's a couple of ways to look at
That's
it.
That's the only thing I'm not
You should be
about
happy I didn't say they should take a guard at number five. How do you like
well,
that?
Well, then I'd be checking that coffee to see if it's not right. Irish coffee.
By the way, they have not addressed right guard. Am I correct?
Ira, they haven't addressed
they
anything.
Get your guy Ted Larson over there, Steve. They didn't get him.
They haven't addressed anything, Ira, as far, you know, it's early.
They've addressed new season ticket holders. That's what they have addressed.
I have to say it's looking like. Now, there's two elements to what you want, what you think should happen, and then what you think they'll do. It sure is looking like they will draft an inside linebacker.
I know.
They're setting themselves up for that.
It looks like they got to draft the freaking right guard in the first three rounds.
Well, you can't draft everything, Ira, but it certainly looks like right now that if I had to put some cash on it, that they're going to draft Devin White. If
I had to put some money.
I give up on his team.
Don't disappoint me.
I swear to God, I'll give up on his team. They do that.
It wouldn't be my first choice, but I'd understand it. It wouldn't be my first choice. The only way I could see it, Ira, is if they really believe in the depth of this defensive line draft. If they really believe in it, they can trade up into the first round after they draft White. They should be able to get, in their minds, if they believe in that, hypothetically,
the seventh or eighth defensive line.
A good defensive lineman who can rush the passer, and maybe these guys believe in what they have. I'm just thinking their mindset, and they go from there. I don't know. But it sure looks like that because Adarius Taylor went to the Browns, you know, started 10 games for the Bucs last year, so he was a starter. Kwan's gone. Lavonnie David is going to be 29. He's played over 100 games. He's banged up. You know, in general, I mean, he's an excellent football player, but banged up and got nothing else. They want to play their share of 3-4. It smells that way. We still got part of it.
Unless this guy's next Derek Thomas, I'm going to lose.
Well, he's not a pass rusher. Really? That's the problem. That's why you're mad.
I almost threw this freaking microphone when you said that. Are they that freaking dense over there?
I don't like to see DeKemper.
I guess they are that dense because look at their freaking record the past decade. God dang it.
Yeah, well, look, there are problems over there. And Ira started off the podcast by saying what most fans are asking right now is, wait a minute, the reality's hit them. How the hell do we have no money and back-to-back 5-11 records and we just let go of three productive football players? Whatever you think of the salaries that they've got, forget about it. Kwan, productive football player. Humphreys, productive. DeSean Jackson, productive. And they haven't really replaced these guys. So it stinks. It smells like Arians and these guys know that this is a three-year plan, not a two-year plan.
Well, I believe that.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It's a lot of faith to put in a new coaching staff to develop some of these young players like Justin Evans, you know, make them a stud safety. Turn them into a stud safety. I don't know if you can do it.
I'm almost
Lee's speechless over here.
He's speechless, but that's the passion of the fans, right? You got.
Look, I think it's just the frustration. It's like, what the hell are they seeing that we're not seeing? I really like to know. Would someone point out any linebacker? I don't give a damn what his name is. That is a difference maker.
And
please.
Suddenly they don't have all kinds of depth at defensive line. That speaks again.
How many guys do we hear on radio? I mean, guys that were in front offices and watch games like we do, but they're more educated than we are. And Lewis Riddick, Exhibit A, says the only way you could slow down defenses is a freaking pass rusher, which your Chiefs did. And look what they're doing.
Well, that's not enough by itself, as the Chiefs proved. They had a pass rush and a lousy defense.
They were a hair away from a Super Bowl,
that's
Ira.
Because they got Mahomes and those animals on offense. They couldn't stop anybody.
Oh, look, Ira, you could debate it all day long. I think part of what the Bucs might fall into, and where we're just speculating, obviously, the whole Darius Leonard effect with what happened with the Colts, the guy, linebacker, making all pro, and can anybody name the Colts pass rushers?
And all of a sudden, they got a respectable defense.
And that, you know, the NFL's a flavor of the month kind of league, and he was the hot rookie last year who took over the league, led him in tackles, and was dominant.
Now, they had Nelson on the other side of the ball. That's quite a rookie splash.
Right, but,
who else?
And Andrew Luck.
I was going to say, give me this crap that a guard turns around a team. I'm not saying he's not good, but holy smokes, he doesn't pass. He doesn't call plays. Come on.
You could speculate they fall in love there with what Leonard's impact. And obviously your favorite guy on the Falcons had a massive impact two years ago.
Jones, hell of a player.
So I don't know. I mean, he helped get them to the Super Bowl with that whole defense.
Was their defense
wave.
That good? I don't ever remember the
that
Falcons
year,
defense.
Yeah. They forced turnovers, and the guy's a hell of a player.
That's what a pass rusher does. Forces turnovers. Get quarterbacks.
I've never seen DeKemper this upset since.
It's early. It's early. I can't get upset because it's early. I'd rather
Miss Watson refused to sign her autograph on the Hooters calendar.
I could almost. She's not a Hooters girl.
On the Bucks calendar.
I could almost. Well, no, I can't. But at least a cornerback has a chance to make a pickoff one. I mean, this is not the 1970s anymore. When a linebacker stopped the run, we're in a passing league. So why would you get a guy?
Just brought up Darius Leonard.
Will Golson's a perfect example. Excellent against the run. Who outside of the freaking people collecting checks at $1 want Will Golson?
Well, I'm not drafting Devin White if he's a two-down player who can't cover.
No,
that's not going to happen.
Will Golson hasn't been good at much since 2016, I think. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm just speculating the mindset there might be we need that guy who can cover guys out of the backfield with McCaffrey and Kamara in the division. This is the way executive types think. Lee and I are more thinking of, you know, get the animal defensive lineman, and you can't go wrong, and rushing the passer is never going to go out of style.
And Lee, what a year to not have any money. The money is crazy. And I'll point out Trent Brown. You know, he's example one. First of all, you got to learn your lesson about New England offensive linemen. Lee, we talked about it the other night. You take it with a grain of salt. Whatever that guy's grade is, and if Trent Brown got a 94 on that film from 2018, you drop it to 84 when he leaves the building in Foxborough. That's a fact. That's what happens. You want somebody, you go get Belichick. You go get Scarnecchia. And you can't pry him out.
And not the guy in Reservoir Dogs.
And to make Brown the highest-paid offensive lineman in NFL history.
Well, it's Chuck.
I mean, what the heck's going on?
Well,
here?
We just made Ryan Jensen the highest-paid center in NFL history.
But
didn't we?
He didn't get Brown money.
No.
But yeah, because that's a tackle. You know. But still, the highest-paid center. Period.
The one position that Bruce Arians talked about in need, the first one. There's been others, but the first one was the offensive line. They haven't addressed it. Lee, ain't addressed it.
We mean they haven't addressed it. They brought Dotson back. They brought
ain't addressed it.
They addressed it. They brought Dotson back and they brought Donovan Smith back. What's that called? Ignoring it?
It was a position of need when you had these two guys. That means you didn't address it.
Ira, it's pretty obvious. They want these guys. Otherwise, they would have got rid of them.
I'd draft Devin White and try him at right guard. What the hell is going on overhead, DeKemper?
Okay.
You got to get a right guard. You got to get a running game. Steve, you got to get one.
Well, Ira, all right, you're screaming here. Now, soothe the fans. The fans need some soothing. Look.
I'm not in a soothing mood.
You're not going to soothe us. Maybe the check down the road will.
Now, the average fan is looking at the reality of what's happened in free agency.
It's reality.
Like, what the hell's going on? We got nothing, and it looks like we're not going to get anything, and if we were playing for a big fish, we would have had them already, most likely. So what the heck's going on?
Well, we said they're going to have to be more strategic, get tier two, tier three free agents instead of the top guys, which I don't necessarily mind.
Agree.
Hey, I'm
still
hung up on T.J. Yeldon. Bring him in. T.J. Yeldon, he's my guy.
I did not expect the Bucs to go get a big fish because they just didn't have the money. And if they did, it would have been bye-bye Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, you were pining for D. Ford, who just got about $18 million a year.
Which I just said, if you did, it would be bye-bye Gerald Ford. And for weeks, I was hoping he'd go on the free agent market. Because there was some scuttlebutt out there. He was going to hit the free agent market. And I was just going nuts. I said, go get this guy. Yes, I understand you'll say goodbye to Gerald McCoy. But since you made a whole left tackle, then you go get this Quinnen Williams, which every SEC fan, they have to go, you know, find a corner of the bathroom to take care of themselves. They're in love with the guy so much. Or you go get this freak out Oliver, and then you're cooking with gas. You got Ford, you got Villa, you got pick your poison at defensive tackle. You're going to draft at number 5, and JPP, that's a defensive line.
Maybe Ed Oliver's lurking around in the middle of the first round, 15 to 20. He could be lurking there.
The Bucs can't do that. They got Will Golston. They're good.
Boy, Lee, I've never heard of this pessimistic.
Time after time, year after year. Started with Michael Bennett, and it's, here we go. What is this allergy they have to defensive ends? Now, great job, Jason Light, going out and getting JPP, but wasn't he looking at the end of his contract when he did that? There's a little motivation there.
Steve, is it hypocritical to jump on Jason Light for overpaying for free agents in the past, and now you're jumping on him for taking a patient, prudent approach?
They're never overpaid if they work, Ira.
He's had a strong track record of picking the wrong guys. Nobody cares about the money if you pick the right guy.
Exactly.
So that's it. I mean, last year was a disaster when Light himself painted himself into a corner by forcing himself almost no option, although there was an option because he could have gotten bold, but he got stuck re-signing Brent Grimes, who didn't want to play for the money Light put in front of him. So they were cooked from the start.
But the three of us sat here a year ago and said they don't have a lot of options beyond bringing Grimes back.
Not paid to get it right or wrong.
Yeah,
Jason Light is.
I still say that was a good move at the time because there was inactivity to replace Grimes. So it was like that was their best
option.
And
you paid Grimes because you didn't know about Hargraves.
Well,
an outside corner.
Not just that. There goes the Bucs defensive line down the road.
Lee's on fire today, Steve.
Who of us predicted? You know, Grimes is always,
I thought, a consummate professional.
Yes.
None of us guessed that he was going to, you know, turn into what he did. Like, eh, I'm not going to cover Antonio Brown. Hell with this.
But we're not around him every day. It's the guys around him every day whose job it is to know what he's like from the neck up and to make it clear that, hey, are you cool with us paying you this to be our number one corner and do whatever we ask you to do?
Grimes announced his retirement. Has he announced his retirement?
Not yet, but to be fair, Grimes could have told Light, hell yeah, and then changed his mind. I don't know what motivated Brent. I like Brent. I get along with Brent, and I'm just trying to be fair. I'm trying to be objective.
Yeah, me too.
We don't
too.
Know what I mean, Brent may have told Jason.
It's Light's job to see through that, though. He deals with guys bullcrapping him all the time, Sage. I don't know. It's just bizarre. And then you look at the decisions at cornerback. Now, where are they now? Now, on your Tampa 2 show, Ira, which is seen twice a week, Identity Tampa Bay, JoeBucksFan.com, with Derek Brooks. Derek Brooks dropped a very interesting nugget in that he said that he has heard Vernon Hargraves is healthy, raring to go, and he's heard a lot of great things about Hargraves. Now, they're paying him about $5 million this year. I think it's $4 million or something like that, or his cap figure. They're hanging a lot on him yet again. For the fourth consecutive year, they'll be pinning a lot on Vernon Hargraves because who else they got?
Lee, the problem with Hargraves is, beyond his health, I don't know how good he is when he's healthy. That's the problem. If I knew the guy was a stud corner, and you've made this point many times, and you're not wrong. They didn't draft him to be a nickel's corner. They did not.
Is there any NFL team that has nickel corners coming out of the ears? There were supposed to be other positions.
Now, that's not to say nickel corner isn't a key spot. It's not to say
it's not a key. It's important, but it's not a key.
They're on the field for 70%.
70%. You don't draft a guy in the first or even second round to be a nickel corner.
Do you blame them for not bringing Humphreys back at the price that he was commanding on the free agent market?
I'm torn between the two. You had the money because you got rid of Jackson. He was dependable. But I'm hearing things, nothing anti-Humphreys, mind you, whatsoever. I'm just hearing Humphreys wasn't certain people's cup of tea. It's nothing negative at all about Adam. Just certain people there, not named Jason Light, preferred a different flavor.
Well, so. I don't think that Jameis Winston's going to be able to go into 2019 complaining about a lack of targets, you know, even without Humphreys. So I don't think that's crippling. I don't think it's crippling.
No, that sets me up with a question. I hated to see your most dependable receiver go. You know, there's no question Mike Evans is the best receiver. No doubt about it. Anybody thinks otherwise, you know, they need another drink. But Humphreys was dependable. Week in and week out, he was clutch. Like someone said, who was the worst receiver? Keyshawn Johnson or DeSean Jackson? What are you talking about? Keyshawn was clutch. He came to play every week. Yeah, he didn't get along with Gruden. That guy was clutch. There's nothing clutch about DeSean Jackson. And Weiner, that's clutch. I hated to see Humphreys go early, but that's paramount. Isn't that sort of like betting on the Bucks to win the Super Bowl? It costs nothing, but you might hit the jackpot.
By the way, they're now 80-1. They've been pushed back to 80-1.
That high?
To win the Super Bowl, the Bucks. 80-1.
I hear you, Sage. Look, I'm fine with dumping Humphreys. You know, the one thing the Bucks have been able to do that nobody can argue, in the last administration, they were able to develop receivers.
Darn right.
So they did a great job of that. They even found Godwin in the third round.
Is Monken part of that, Stevie?
Yes. Of course. Monken, Cutter, they knew what they were doing with receivers, period. So, you know what? You developed Chris Godwin. The guy played well except for two games. He had a two-game lull in December, came back in the last two, had a big game again to finish the season. Caught 7 touchdowns. He caught more yards than a lot of receivers out there. He was 10th in the NFL in first down catches of 3rd and 7 or more.
Wow, look
10th,
at you.
Better than Humphreys. More clutch than Humphreys. So let the guy play. You can't just let him sit there. Let him play.
The key is to keep Howard healthy. If Howard's healthy.
Yeah, that's very key.
That's the key.
And Brate.
You know, he's going to make everybody around him better, and I agree with Steve. Godwin's ready to take the next step.
Brate's another guy that needs to be healthy, too, and I like Cameron.
I think they're a running game away from a hell of an offense. Now,
how many teams can say that?
It's 1970 here for Ira.
Oh, you got to be able to run the ball
you're
a little
five
bit.
Girls,
a little bit.
You're 5 girlfriends away from being a swinger, right? What is that?
Ooh, nice, Steve, nice.
All right, Lee mentioned the newest Bucks receiver, Mr. Perriman, Breshad Perriman. Now, this guy is a draft bust who's still around, blazing speed.
He had a big average of catch last year.
Big average of catch, caught 16 balls, and, you know.
That's a good game for Antonio Brown. That's a good game. Yeah. Yeah. I just want to point that out.
He may have had his best year last year, but the numbers are very paltry, which says a lot about the first couple years in the league.
So when we reported, Ira, that Humphreys was gone, I had written in there that I knew the Bucks wanted to get faster in the slot. So here's Perriman, who's supposedly
lightning fast.
He's run under 4.2 in the past, lightning fast, but he's never really done anything.
That's making up for Jackson's departure. Perhaps.
Well, he's an inside guy. They're paying him $4 million. I just think it's weird that they put him on a one-year deal. Because aren't the Bucks in like some sort of two-year plan for a Super Bowl? If Perriman plays really well, how are you going to pay pay him?
Didn't they do the same thing with Buchanan? Same thing. He's on
a prove-it deal. So if all these guys prove it, then you're screwed. I don't understand the plan, so I'm really very confused about the plan. If Gerald McCoy plays well this year, how are you going to get rid of him? You know, where are the decisions going to come from?
Here,
I don't know.
I can't say shocked. I'll be surprised if Gerald's around 2020. If Jameis has any kind of decent year, boom, his salary skyrockets.
You know, I was thinking about this too, Steve. More than a few Buck fans have to be asking themselves, beyond that first question, which is a doozy, how can you be a bad team with no money? That's a hell of a question.
I know.
But
that's an accomplishment, actually.
Here's another one for DeKemper. It's going to rile him up.
I think I've shot my wad.
The years that your quarterback is on a rookie contract are the years that you have to build your football team.
Yeah.
See, it hasn't happened.
Steve and I, we used to appear weekly all year long on the Big Dog, Steve Dumig Show. He owned this area when it came to sports
Steve
radio.
Dumick.
Yes, and I hope he's listening. I hope he's doing well.
Good vibes out to Stevie.
He popped up on Twitter about 3-4 weeks ago.
It was
the first time in months.
It was a one-timer.
Yeah, I mean, usually if he's feeling well, he's on Twitter. Steve and I said that, and not only did Dumick freak out, the fans, I thought we were going to get lynched. How dare you say that?
How dare you say it?
It was simple arithmetic. Yeah, it's simple arithmetic.
That's when you got to make hay.
And instead, they had the worst defense mankind has ever seen. Neil Armstrong never saw this type of defense. It was
Ira,
so
do you agree with Lee that you really don't see any avenue for Gerald McCoy being here in 2020?
I do agree with that.
Okay,
yes.
Well, unless he really works his contract.
Then my question is, what is he doing here now?
They think they could make the playoffs this year. They think they could win 10 games.
Come on.
Steven, you don't think Bruce Arians thinks that?
Well, of course he thinks that.
He's 66. Is he pining for 2021?
Well, they're not making bold moves. Is this what no risk, bold? Is this what no risk it, no biscuit looks like, Ira?
They think this coaching staff, Lee, I'll say it again, can make a significant difference in the development of some of these players that Light has drafted.
Well, we have to be honest. I can't imagine anybody being, let's put it this way. The defense was so horrible, so utterly horrible. The secondary, so pathetic. It's hard to believe that guys were drafted that high that were that bad. I mean, you almost have to try to be that bad.
Like at running back?
Well, that too. I got to believe what Steve is saying. That coaches think they can improve these guys. Now, I'm not saying turn these guys around to be Night Train Lane.
They think
and
they
Deion
can get
Sanders.
More out of Vea, more out of Evans.
Well, his last half, and this says something about the coaches, last half
and
of the
season. And more out of a guy like Carlton Davis.
The Glazers, they're the most charitable family I've ever seen. All the money they've thrown away to help out people's families, pay for their schooling, pay for their next generation, the millions of dollars. Glazer Family Foundation, indeed.
It must have been 10 years ago that he said it to me, Steve, and you're well aware of it, and tell me whether you think it's still valid. We were talking about free agency. This might have been the meeting out in Maui. The Tribune sent me to Maui. That's right, gentlemen.
Oh!
All expenses paid.
Do you have one of the little fruity drinks with the umbrella in it?
Ritz-Carlton Maui. They had a hell of a beet salad. It was fabulous.
What do they call it? Mai Tais?
And I remember that Glazer, we told my free agency and losing players, he said, we've never lost a free agent that we wanted to keep.
I don't believe that.
He said that.
Well, he said
that. Now, that might have been true 10 years ago because they didn't have any free agents anybody wanted. Does Quan Alexander departure to the West Coast change that in any way?
Ira, look, I can't get caught up in the BS of this stuff. You argued with me when they let Russell Shepard go. You're like, that doesn't count. It's Russell Shepard. That doesn't count. Well, it was a guy they said they loved and wanted, and he went to Carolina. The Bucks said they put a contract in front of Quan Alexander. Well, he doesn't play here anymore. So I'm assuming that they still wanted him. So, yeah, of course that counts.
Who had the best offseason so far? Let's put it this way. Who had the best legal tampering season so far?
The best legal tampering season?
Without question.
All right, let me. I can't wait to hear this one.
Steve, you want to take a stab?
Well, the Lions are kicking ass.
He said something about legal tampering. He ain't talking about players.
Well, the last couple of days. Who's had the best legal tampering offseason?
Yeah, it depends how you interpret it.
You're talking
Rosenhaus.
The Browns are making the most news.
You said Rosenhaus, so you explained that last podcast.
Yeah, Drew Rosenhaus. Not even close. How he got Quan Alexander, that kind of cash. How he got Antonio Brown a freaking raise. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He knows his stuff.
Sage, here's a fun one for you. I'm curious your thoughts here. You know,
Who's asking this one, Steve? Who's asking?
I'm asking it. There you go. We're going to rapid fire the questions that I'll screen them. We'll get through the screener here, and we'll throw them at you real quick. Sage, the Bucs re-signed Kevin Minter, and I think it's rather ironic that Minter was cut by the Jets last year. And then he sat around on the street for about 6 weeks after Bowles had no use for him. And then they bring him here, and now he's back. It's like, come on. Well, the comedy of this stuff is unbelievable.
He made a couple of splash plays, Lee. A couple.
Who?
Minter. A couple. But in general terms, he seems to be just a guy. Just a guy.
All right, Ira, first question for you. It comes from me. Ian Beckles was on the radio today, dropped a great line. He said the way the Bucs are approaching free agency right now and the way the position they're mired in, he said it's like going to the club ugly and broke. Did you agree with that?
And you can't get past the bouncer.
Well, I've got experience with that.
Now, Leo, let me say this. Let's provide a little bit of perspective. This podcast has taken a very negative turn from about the first 30 seconds. And... you know, we're still 3 weeks away from the Bucs gathering for the first freaking OTA session under a new coaching staff. The coaching staff is the X factor right now.
Very much so.
That's the thing. That's the, you know, the angle that Buck fans have to, they have to count on. Steve, they got to count on the new coaching staff. They can't count on a roster overhaul because there's not going to be one.
Ira, fans are jaded. They're beaten up. They're kicked. They're stomped. They're disenfranchised. Everybody 2 years ago, including Derek Brooks, including you, including, I think, us and others, said, oh, the best offseason signing was retaining Mike Smith. Coaching.
They're going to win 10 games.
It was a bunch of crap is what it was. And so it's hard for fans to believe in coaching when we've been through how many coaches since Chucky? So, I mean, I have faith in Arians. I think they'll be much better coached, and I can't wait to see what he gets out of the three super expensive offensive linemen. But, you know, I don't know. We have to believe it when we see it. But it will be exciting to get him back on the practice field. All right, Sage, shooting you a question here. We're going to go to Neo Ramos 12. He says, please, Ira, please tell us that there is hope for us in this upcoming season. I feel like we're in for another long one, and this offseason has done nothing to change my mind. Please, Sage.
All right. Well,
soothe the man.
All right. We're still 4 or 5 weeks away from the draft. Light has done better in the draft than he has in free agency. That may not be saying much, Steve, but he has, with the exception of the disastrous 2016 haul, which looks like just one of the worst drafts in Buck history. But Light's also hit on guys in the draft. We'll see what he does, Lee. If he brings in a linebacker at number 5, that could work out, even though DeKemper would fall over. And Steve, you and I will be at the draft party. And by the way, I want some details on the draft party because Dr. Wenk wants to know when the hell it is. And so you're going to have to provide some details.
I'm sure Dr. Wenk knows the draft party's on draft night, but we'll get all the details.
I might walk out of One Buck Palace if they'd pick an inside linebacker.
What I'm saying is let's not go too crazy over the demise of the Buccaneers.
Ira, Hunter Norton asks you, what will be the Bucs' record next year? Call it, Sage.
I said I was out of the business after calling for a 10-6. In 2017, it didn't happen. Right now, 6-10.
Six and ten, says the Sage. Ira Alexander.
And that's if they draft a linebacker at 5. If they don't, 5-11. just to get under DeKemper's skin.
Alexandre Nascimento.
Nicely done.
I'm butchering it. I'm sure he wants to know what is the best free agent for us right now. Who do you like right now? Are you still on the T.J. Yeldon bandwagon?
Well, he's not a difference maker, but I think he could play an important role behind Barber, who they like. Who's the best free agent? Talk T.J. Lang out of retirement and go sign him and plug him in at right guard. There's your answer.
All right, Sage, we answered most of the other questions through the podcast, but I'll get back to Javier. Did you ever go out with Grace Kelly?
Grace Kelly was a little bit beyond my pay grade, but every time I see Rear Window with Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly, I forget all about Rachel Watson. And what a ravishing beauty, Lee.
Was that the name of the movie? I know what you're talking about, but I didn't know that was the name of the movie.
And she'd be perfect for you except for one thing. She's a class actor, Kevin.
Well, I was going to say, she was elegant. And
elegant.
Elegant. And who was the blonde of her time at the same time?
Well, it was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe was a streetwalker. Grace Kelly was an elegant woman.
So you'd want nothing to do with Marilyn Monroe?
No, Grace Kelly was elegant.
The Kemper has standards. The Kemper.
Yes.
Has standards.
Now, there's a couple other Javier questions.
Okay.
Will John Lynch pity the Bucks and maybe trade one of his 8,000 defensive linemen to the team?
Well, you're not getting the best defensive lineman, which is DeForest Buckner. Not Brenson Buckner, DeForest Buckner, who's a really top-notch player.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's a first-round pick, a high first-round pick a few years ago, and he's a hell of a defensive tackle. He's a guy that can provide inside pressure. He's below Aaron Donald, but he's damn good,
wow.
And you ain't getting him. Somebody else? No, Lynch is in it for the 49ers. Sympathy's out the window, DeKemper.
Sage, another question for Javier.
He's rapid fire.
Another one for Javier. Where do you get your cannolis?
My cannolis, Sorrento's, right up the road. Sorrento's.
All right, Sage. City of Winds asks, Iroh, would you be against the Bucks drafting Juwan Taylor, the Gators, big Gator guy, and going offensive guard in the second round to fix the right side of the offensive line, you know, so the Bucks can actually run the ball?
Excellent question, and just to drive DeKemper up another wall, I don't think that's a terrible idea. Let me say this, DeKemper. You can't fix this defense in one swoop. It's going to be, at best, average. But if you can run the ball and have a good offensive line, and with that passing game, you might be able to outscore people. And just look at the Chiefs. They came within a whisker of making the Super Bowl, and they had no defense. So,
but they had a game break, a game wrecker.
The problem is, let's not forget, the offense scored 20 points a game in the last half of the season. That ain't going to get it done, Lee. They need better scoring offense. How do you like that?
Right.
I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Ira, is Eric Berry worth a sniff now
Absolutely
that he's a free agent?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I said it to DeKemper off air on Monday night. Don't be surprised if the Chiefs, I don't know if the Chiefs have the guts, but they should release Eric Berry.
They did.
Berry.
That's why I'm
and
asking.
They
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
And they did. Honey Badger's going to take his spot and taking his money. I don't have anything against Eric Berry, but he's never available. And now, you know, he's got a great backstory of what he's overcome, but he's got an Achilles problem. They needed him on the field last year at the end, and he couldn't post. You got to be able to post, Lee.
Sage, Lee, what do you guys make of Peyton Barber? The Bucks tried to get him to sign a multi-year deal, and he said, nope, one-year deal. I'm betting on myself. What do you make of that?
Smart. That's smart. He does anything. Because apparently he knows he's going to be the feature back. I know I probably caused a few wrecks and there's some mailboxes have been destroyed saying that. But he knows he's going to be the feature back. Has any kind of year, he's going to go to the bank next year. Maybe with a different team.
What if Tevin Coleman's out there at a reasonable price? Anybody want
signed, him? Signed.
Gone.
Signed.
John Lynch, 49ers.
Gone. You missed Twitter for freaking 30 minutes and he's gone.
And people wonder why I live on this phone.
Unbelievable, Lee. You've asked your questions, my friend.
Six and ten. I don't even know where we go from there. And you start saying, oh, you guys have gone negative on the podcast. You just called the 6-10 season with America's quarterback throwing the football.
Well, America's quarterback is on America's trial. And he's got a one-year trial to see what he can do.
So you think he's not coming back then? Because if they go 6-10, you're going to tell me they're going to re-sign him? I'm asking you. We're getting 20 steps ahead here, Ira, but
if they go 6-10, I think he's gone.
Even if he has a good year?
I think he's gone.
Wow.
I've
already written this. If he has a good year, he's getting franchised.
You love to spend the Glazers' money over there,
Well,
Lee.
The reason why is because right around the corner is the new CBA. Nobody knows what that's going to be like. So why would the Glazers, this is just common sense, you could be invested in rental property. Why would the Glazers potentially cough up more money than they ever have for any player if they don't even know what the CBA is going to be like? So the franchise, although it sounds ridiculous on face value, it might behoove the Glazers to do that.
Well, you've heard me say it before. I'll tweak it a little bit. You got to win some freaking games. at a certain point if you're a quarterback. And if it's year five and you got 60-something starts and you got a terrible record, why do I want to commit myself
I'm
to
I'm not
you?
Weighing in, Ira. I just asked you. You dropped 6-10.
Asked and answered.
You're like Judge Judy over here, all rolled up into one.
Oh, he is Judge Judy, not is he? He's all worked up.
I'm not Judge Jeanine, though. Don't give me that one. Judge
all right,
Jeanine,
Ira, you
I
know,
want no part of.
Yeah, let me say this.
Yeah, well, Judge Judy's got some more money.
All right.
Like every Bucks fan, you, me, Lee, you know, you go into the season a little optimistic, right? Because you know what can happen. But I think what gets lost is how beaten down we all are as Bucks fans, because even last year when they opened by beating the Saints and they handled the Super Bowl champs, it all went in the toilet.
All in the toilet. And it wasn't ravaged by injuries, none of that nonsense.
And as a lot of fans might say, is they haven't even flushed yet.
To back up what Steve said, I remember Pat Kerwin and Dirk Cutter even crowed about the Falcons 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they only lost two starts the whole season with their offensive line, and that was the reason why they went to the Super Bowl. They had so many offensive linemen starting so many games, and the Bucks lost a grand total of one start on their offensive
line.
You'll never see that again. And they were subpar.
I understand.
One start that goes against all football logic.
Steve, you came in loaded for bear tonight.
Well, I didn't do anything, Ira. I've been sitting here just responding to you. I don't even know if I still can't say the Bucs O-line was subpar last year just because they put up all those yardage. It just doesn't happen.
Well,
miraculously.
And fans go nuts on me because I will not crucify the offensive line because I don't think they deserve to be crucified. Could they have played better? Probably. But these eyes have seen what bad Bucs offensive line is. That wasn't it last year.
All right, Ira, the good fans of Tampa Bay have just soaked in 40 minutes of your sage wisdom. They're now all going to head over to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.com.
First, they're going to get a stiff drink before they head over to Ed Morse.
No drunk driving. No drunk driving. Use Uber. Use Lyft.
You're right.
So what is your wisdom to take them into the weekend, and this be a full weekend of free agency, may the end of the first tier as we near the second tier of free agency.
All right, Steve, I do have a message, Steve. You know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, I sympathize with Buck fans. Nobody does that like Joe Buck's fan because we're genuine. You got to face facts. Forget about the fake news and opinions. Facts. When Doug Williams put that curse on, and it was a hell of a curse in 83, 14 years of misery. And you know what? This could be 12 coming up. Approaching the Doug Williams curse. What are we going to blame this one on? The Lee DeKemper curse? So I don't want to hear all this nonsense. Oh, we feel your pain, Buck Nation, this and that. We are the entity, the media outlet, that speaks for Buck fans. And right now, they ain't speaking. They're crying. Get out of here, Steve.
Interesting wisdom there, Ira. All right, Sage, you're looking good. We will see you next week. Everybody continue to listen to the podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and right at JoeBucksFan.com and other platforms. Ira is now punching the air, and he's feeling good. We'll see you next time.
Look out, Nancy Grace.